We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Thank you and welcome to the programme. A critic recently wrote in the Times, this is the cleverest and wittiest programme on the air. Pity he wasn't referring to us, but never mind. Let's Willie Rushton and Tim Brooke Taylor on my right. And Graham Garden and Barry Cryer on my left. And we start straight away with the game that takes as its starting point the poverty of the international film industry. For economic reasons, new films will have to be remakes of pairs of old films. I want you to give me, teams, the resulting titles, and I'll award points for anything which approaches humour. I think we'll have a couple of rounds of this. So anyway, let's start with you, Graham Garden.
I just heard they're going to remake The Thomas Crown Affair and Jewel et Jim, and they're going to get the crown jewels. Or possibly the Thomas and Jim affair.
They're knitting together Dr. Zhivago and La Ronde, and they're calling it Doctor, I Keep Getting These Dizzy Spells.
There's a bumper package imminent, Humph. They're remaking and combining, indeed, Five Finger Exercise, Goodbye Girl, Bruce Lee Lives, and Next of Kin, making a new film called Finger Leakin' Good. Or Colonel Sanders of the River.
The makers of Kentucky Fried Movie and MASH and Moby Dick, they've all combined together to produce an awful lot of fish and chips.
Okay, well, Tim is ahead in that round. Let's have another one. Graham, start off again.
Times are really hard. They're combining Chariots of Fire, Blazing Saddles, Fire Down Below, and Towering Inferno, and they're just going to sit back and collect the insurance.
Three films they've put all together into one heap. The Incredible Shrinking Man, Stunt Man, and Nanny, and it's, I told you, it's stunted to Grossmaster William.
Most massive remake yet. Seven films, Hum. Seven films.
The count them.
Count them. The Elizabeth Taylor film, Boom.
One.
T for Two.
Two.
T in Sympathy.
Three.
Boomtown.
Four.
Tea House of the August Moon.
Five.
Boomerang.
Six.
And I was a teenage werewolf.
180!
New film called Boom Titty Boom. Titty Boom. The second.
Right, Tim.
The makers of the film Arthur have got together with the producers of the musical One Mo' Time, and they're making Arthur Moe.
I thought that was good. I thought that deserved a round of applause. Isn't that good? Anybody got any more?
Yeah, did you know they're combining Halloween and the Fleet's Inn and making Hallow Sailor?
It's also Oh What a Lovely War and Raiders of the Lost Ark and Ice Cold in Alex to produce Oh Arkachoo!
Okay, well, we'll go on now to the point where I tell the teams that at the end of the programme they're going to be having to announce the late arrivals at the theatrical ball.
Thanks, darling.
The theatrical ball. Right, now we're going on to a new game, and this is Rubik Cube.
Ah.
And it's quite simple. This is where I ask our teams to do the Rubik Cube, which they have in front of them. All have the Rubik Cube, teams? Right. Mm. They've all been suitably scrambled, and they're going to just have to solve the Rubik Cube, remembering that the world record is 29 seconds. Okay, teams, you can start now. Tim Brooke Taylor. That is fantastic, and I can vouch, listeners, for the fact, if you'll hand it to me, Tim. Yes, yellow on one side, red. All the colours are in position there. And Tim Brooke Taylor has solved the Rubik's Cube in 15 seconds. On the face of it, looks like a new world record, but it'll have to be referred, of course, to the stewards. Wait a minute, we're getting a thing through from this. Well, unhappily, the stewards have ruled out a world record for that.
Oh.
Because it was wind-assisted.
Yes.
I can vouch for that.
It's the old
so
problem.
I'm afraid we can't chalk up a world record for the programme, but nonetheless, let's have a round of applause for Tim Wilson. I would like to mention at this point that a listener has sent in a small Rubik's Cube, which I have here, and it's a variation on the game because all the various facets spell out Mornington Crescent. I'd like to thank you, sir, for sending in this. This is deadly serious. This is a thing that I actually have here. All the facets said Mornington Crescent, and the fascinating thing is that you can turn it around and it actually makes words out of the letters Mornington Crescent. And you can really spend your time building up
words
quite
like
interesting
Mornington and Crescent. I suppose. What sort of word is it?
Well, actually, you can range quite far afield. This morning, simply doing it on the train, quite casually, I managed to get the thing to say in on one side, in morning, Tim gets erotic emotions centering on. Which is the eight facets, so unfortunately that's going to cause us an enormous amount of fun in the future. Getting back to the present, we have the round called limericks, and I'm going to ask you to make up some limericks teams that are suitable for broadcasting, so this should be a pretty short round. I'll give you the first line, and then, of course, you take one line each, and we'll start with Graham Garden. There once was a fellow called Tebbit.
There once was a fellow called Tebbit who had this unusual habit.
He'd jump on his bike,
then juggle with Pike,
and play Hearts of Oak on a rivet.
Pioneers, you're pioneers.
Not bad, but we can do better.
On a
Tim.
Rivet.
Rivet?
Tim.
Oh, it's a lovely rivet. Yes.
Tim, yes, here's one for you to start off. There once was a fellow called Biffin.
Who liked a bit round about tiffin.
He'd have crumpet with cheese.
Then fall to his knees.
And play Hearts of Oak on a griffin. Oh.
Right, well, having established our political impartiality, we can go on to something else now. Barry. I once saw a crime that was heinous.
It doesn't have to be in time with the music, does it?
No, it's just that give Colin
I once saw a crime that was heinous. The first act of Coriolanus.
Some mischievous joker.
Picked up a hot poker.
Hello, Jim.
Which really did not entertain us.
Very neat, very neat, yes. Okay, Willie, the last one, and here's you, your line to start with. There was a young girl from Sri Lanka. Come back, Barry.
Who had an affair with a banker.
She gave him her all.
He made a withdrawal.
Didn't even bother to thank her. Close.
Right.
It's a nice last show, isn't it?
Barry and Graham are well in the lead now.
Yeah, so
as we go on to the singing sprint. In this round, one team sings a song as fast as they can, timed by me, and then the opposing team must beat their time. Very simple and straightforward, and of course they'll be accompanied by Colin Sell at the piano. Oh, incidentally, Willie has now done the Rubik's Cube. Yes. Round of applause for Willie. And we'll refer that to the stewards. Well, yes, that's been well. And, oh, wait a minute. No, it's oiled.
Wonder why it had gone off.
The singing sprint.
Yeah.
And the song you have to sing, teams, is Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And may I remind you of the importance of clear diction in this if you want to get any marks. Right, we'll start with Tim and Willie. Will you start off? Chitty, chitty, bang, bang, as fast as you can. Starting now.
Quick, so
oh, you pretty chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, we love you. And our pretty chitty bang bang, chitty chitty bang bang, we're so good. High, low, anywhere we go, on chitty chitty bang. Bang bang, chitty bang bang, our five pump 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 pump.
That was done in a...
hesitation.
That was done in 11.31 seconds, which you have to beat now, Graham and Barry. Starting now.
Oh, you pretty chitty bang bang, chitty bang bang, we love you. And our pretty chitty bang bang, chitty bang bang, we love us too. High, low, anywhere we go, on chitty chitty leave in the end. Bang bang, chitty bang bang, our five more friend and friend. Bang bang, chitty bang bang, our five more friend and friend. Oh!
Now, I'm afraid Tim and Willie won that one.
They did actually miss one chitty and three bangs.
I didn't hear that. Are you,
we weren't even at the
replay?
Party, I don't know.
Go on now to the game called Paranoia. And in this game, Team A decides that there's something wrong with Team B, and Team B have to guess what's wrong with themselves by asking questions. Team A reply in a manner appropriate to Team B's affliction. And the aim is to make the members of Team B paranoid and leave the studio twitching. So, the answer's going up now on our computerized board. And here it is through the mystery voice for you at home.
Barry and Graham think they're on OTT.
Right, Barry and Graham, you are afflicted, and you have to question Tim and Willie about it.
Do you think we possess a certain ability?
No.
No.
I think we
no,
lack...
But, no, but you do.
We think we lack a certain ability.
Oh, yeah.
We both suffer from this lack of...
That's very daring.
Whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's very clever. Very good. The children would like this, wouldn't they?
Yes. Please?
Mm. What a pity it isn't on their time of the
we
day.
Think we're on a particular program. Tis what?
On the time.
Under the top.
No, you're on a...
Do we labour under the misapprehension that we're on OTT?
It was the balloons that gave you away.
Yeah. I always thought Barry
That's
was.
Very good. Actually, Graham and Barry, you got that one in 12 seconds and a half, which means that Tim and Willie have got a lot of work to do.
But they can
right.
finish the game first.
Tim and Willie are afflicted now, and their affliction is going up on our board, and here it is for you at home.
Tim and Willie think they're moles.
Okay. Tim and Willie, will you start questioning to find out what's wrong with you?
Does this apply to both of us?
Yes.
Have we got it equally?
Well, I'm not sure we're at liberty to divulge how much we know about that.
We're trying to get information out of you.
I'm afraid that is rather too close to the truth.
We think we're policemen.
We've been raped and we're trying to explain it to the Thames Valley Police.
Were we anywhere near it earlier on?
So you say. You deny
we're trying to,
having been anywhere
near it. We're trying
near
to get a telephone put in.
We're ringing up direct... Yes, we're ringing up direct
yes.
inquiries.
Yes. That's what tipped us off.
No, oh, we're buggers.
You are. Stick to the game. Stick to the game.
We're Watergate conspirators. Well, yeah, say buggers, I can't say conspiracy. It's an upbringing, I think.
There was an applause from the audience there.
On which?
I don't know, I've forgotten. I don't think they're going to get it. Do you think if you can give them a clue?
Burrow on.
Bunny.
No, they're not. They're not.
Near they're watching the Down scandal.
Give them.
They're going off in all the wrong directions.
Give them something a bit more blunt.
Blunt? Blunt, we, so, we...
We're ex-Cambridge...
We're spies. We think we're Burgess and McLean. No.
No. Well. Stick to rabbits.
Rabbits.
This is all gossip.
We think we're Bunny and McLean.
No.
Blunt and Bugs Bunny.
Sir Anthony Blunt.
Does he?
Underground creatures.
Moles.
Moles?
Ah, yes. Pathetic. I have a new respect
Tim for
MI5.
Having got there in
9 seconds,
they win the round. And it's time for a musical round now called Opera. I want you to sing a snatch of Grand Opera from a selected passage accompanied by Colin Sell, of course, at the piano. Tim and Willie, you're going to start this one off. And you've been given to sing a recipe for ginger nignogs, which was actually sent in to the Jimmy Young Show by Mrs. Getting of Romany Rise, Orpington. So, pencils and paper, those of you at home who want to get a free recipe out of this show. Okay, start now.
Mix together the flour, the oats, the sugar, the bicarb, the ginger, and gently beat together with marge.
Yeah, marge.
Sweet marge.
Yeah, marge.
Add marge to the milk,
add the milk to the syrup.
And then,
yes, yes.
And then,
yes, yes. What then, Mrs. Getting of Orpington?
Roll the mixture into balls. Roll the mixture into balls,
Mrs. Getting.
And there you have your ginger.
Well, with 7 seconds of spontaneous applause from the audience there, Tim and Willie have scored quite a lot of points. And Graham and Barry, you have to sing now an extract from a book of Keep Fit exercises for housewives using household equipment.
Draw.
Stand erect with your feet spaced comfortably apart. Grip the mop or brush shaft at shoulder's width, then slide your hands further apart.
4 inches. Oh. Also to each side. Swing the shaft directly overhead at arm's length.
Now try to pull your hands further apart for 6 seconds.
But retaining a firm grip on the shaft.
Retaining a firm grip on the shaft.
On the shaft.
Chief muscles exercised, the rear.
Upper arms or triceps,
which straighten the arms from a flexed position.
In women, this muscle often becomes flabby.
In women, this muscle often becomes flabby.
For us. Well done, Barry and Graham. Not only do you win that round, but you get a bonus of 10 marks for creating the first blue opera. And we go on.
I've done the cube.
And a further 10. Show me. Graham Garden.
Don't talk of
thinks
cubes.
That he's solved the Rubik cube. Well.
In his own mind, he has, poor soul.
Just looking at the first facet that strikes my eye, you've got two white colours there, one green, one... Oh.
But it does spell Cressington
Norman.
I'll
refer that to the stewards. That'll be referred to the stewards while we go on to Call My Bluff, which is a game, of course, familiar to all those of you who've seen the television programme of the same name. The teams are going to give me 4 different definitions of a word, and I have to guess which one is correct. And they will then tell me if it's true or a bluff. We're playing it with a slight variation this time, since our referendum on the common market took place exactly 6 years and 336 days ago, and we feel this is the perfect moment, therefore, to play international Call My Bluff. The word, teams, is Auf Wiedersehen, which is, of course, of French derivation. We're going to start with you, Graham Garden, for your definition of Auf Wiedersehen.
Which is not, in fact, of French derivation at all. It comes from the German. The German Auf Wiedersehen, who is remembered as probably the most unmemorable man in the whole of German history. Auf Wiedersehen was a contemporary of Wittgenstein and his cronies, who would often meet
and quaff an ale or two in a tavern, and Wittgenstein would talk about the old days and the old chums they used to have, and he'd say, "Who was that little fellow? Used to hang around a lot with us. Little bald chip, what was his name?" And they'd all click their fingers and try and remember his name, because nobody could ever remember this man. They say that name began with a V or a W, what was Müller, something like that. Anyway, then they all decided to go home, and as they got into the street, suddenly Wittgenstein would remember and be saying, "Goodbye, chaps, goodbye. Auf Wiedersehen!" They'd all say, "Yeah, Auf Wiedersehen! Oh, 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 oh!" And off they'd go. And so the joke became perpetuated and passed into the German language, and it's remarkable, in fact, as being the only joke ever to pass into the German language without them noticing.
Timbrook Taylor, your definition, please.
It's actually a Scottish word. Ach, we design. Ronnie Corbett. when he goes to his tailor, they say, "Would you like a large design?" He said, "Ach, we design." Because it's designs for less than average heighted people.
Barry Cryer, let's have your definition.
Not wishing to suck up the chairman, it is French in origin. Dates back to the Norman invasion, when the Normans were here, and they were great lads for eggs. "Urn earth is as good as a feast," they used to shout. And a little bit of their Norman wisdom. And they realised they had problems in English shops, because if they said... They used to like to get half a dozen eggs, but they realised that if they said that one six, you know, it could be misunderstood, so they had to abandon that. And they thought they'd say half a dozen, but of course, being Norman French, it came out as avis de zen. And it was the thing they always said just before they left the shop, because they put the eggs on the top, you see, so they wouldn't break. And they would nod, smilingly point out the eggs and say, "Avis de zen," and the English used to say, "Yes, you're bird."
Willie Rushton, let's have your definition.
It doesn't come from the French or the German. It comes from the English, and it's particularly apt in this, the 75th year of the Boy Scout movement. But in fact, it goes, "Ralph Reeder's sin." Ralph Reeder, of course, who never committed any sin in his life, but he unfortunately got tied to it because of the phrase "gang show bang." Ralph Reeder's sin has become a word that refers to appalling mass behaviour by Boy Scouts. quite often under candles. Or in large halls. There's Ralph Reeder's sin, they shout out as the lads get at it with their woggles when they're talking.
Right, so we have four definitions there that I've got to choose from. We have this name, which is recollected at the last moment by amnesiac Germans. Timbrook Taylor's, the Ronnie Corbett allusion there. Barry Cryer, I quite like that definition of yours. Yes. But not that much. And Willie Rushton, Ralph Reeder's sin. Yes, I read about it.
You heard Gary Lynn sing it.
Ralph Reeder's sin, Ralph Reeder's sin.
I'm going to go for your definition, Barry Cryer. And it's a bluff. It's a bluff. So can we have now the correct definition, please?
True.
Who would have thought?
Good Lord, the last possible.
There's three meanings, Graham, mine and Willie's.
Yes, all true.
All true.
That's amazing. And it brings us to a tiebreaker, which will be played out in the form of the introductions to the late arrivals teams at the theatrical ball.
Mr. and Mrs. Durstudy and their little boy Ern Durstudy. Who's that sitting over there? Oh, it's Keith Prowse. He's in the wrong seat again.
And over there, will you welcome Mr. and Mrs. Addays and their daughter Sal Addays. And the boyfriend, her pal Joey.
Mr. and Mrs. Ningnight and their daughter Hope.
Over there, a military contingent, Major Barbara, Sergeant Musgrave, and Private Lives.
Mr. and Mrs. Doctor in the house, and their daughter, Sarah Doctor in the house. Sarah.
All the way from Sweden, last 2 weeks.
The sound of music of the Trapp family, the one who's been running for 30 years, Thomas Trapp.
And over there, all the way from America, Mr. and Mrs. Boulevard and their son, Seth Boulevard. And And a warm welcome, please, for the Cleese family. John Cleese, Perry Cleese, and Andrew Cleese, and the lion.
Mr. and Mrs. Daughter on the stage, and their golfing son, known to us all as Don, put a daughter on the stage.
Mr. and Mrs. Fred, I forgot my lines, and their post nervous daughter called Amy. Amy Fred, I've forgotten my lines. So I even got it wrong, Ben.
There's Toby. Or not Toby, I can't tell.
Mr. and Mrs. Skirl and their daughter, Cora Skirl.
With her friend Shirley, you've got the tickets.
Unless there are any further entries, let me tell you now that we've come to the end of the programme.
Mr. and Mrs. never get a drink at the interval. And their son, Hugh L., never get a drink at the interval.
This is what I have to say. We've come to the end of our show, and from all of us here, goodbye.
Mary Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor, and Willie Rushton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.